So for our announcements this morning, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. During the worship service. So if you did not get a communion cup, they are in the tray at the back. So anybody that needs one, please grab one at this time. The Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday, December the 4th at 7 p.m., and we will continue our study of the parables of Jesus in the New Testament. And the search committee members are asked just to see me briefly following the service today. I just have some information and a handout, but I don't think everybody's here from that committee, but I will make sure everybody gets one. So continue to pray for God's leading in our search for a pastor. So we will hopefully have some information soon for you. As a church family, we extend our deepest sympathy to Karen and the entire Bryant family on the passing of Judy Bryant on Saturday. So we just asked you to keep Karen and her family in your prayers this week. There will be news once a service is arranged, so we will let you know that. Our speaker next Sunday will be Mr. Tim Charter, and today we're just thrilled that snow wasn't too great today, and that Jamie Tiffin and his lovely wife were able to come from Chatham. So we look forward to hearing the message that God has placed on his heart for us this morning. So at this time, I'm going to call on Janet to come forward and do our Advent candle reading.
Today is the first Sunday of Advent, in which we recall the hope we have in Christ. God told Abraham that through him all the nations of the world would be blessed, because he trusted and put his hope in God. I will make you into a great nation, God told Abraham. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. The Old Testament spoke of the coming of Christ, of how a Savior would be born, a king in the line of King David. He would rule the world wisely and bless all the nations. We too believe in God's promise to bless all people through Jesus. And we believe Jesus will come again to this world to bring light into the darkness and to establish his kingdom upon the earth. Go ahead. Hope is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Almighty, all-loving God, your love is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of David. Help us in preparing to celebrate his birth, to make our hearts ready, and to place our hope in you. Help us today and every day to worship you, to hear your word, and to do your will by sharing your hope with others.
We're going to do our praise songs next, so you can stand if you're able. Thank you much for your goodness to us. Lord, we just thank you that we can celebrate your coming and be reminded of the significance and the magnificence of it. Lord, we just thank you that you were willing to humble yourself and come to earth as a child, and for such a population that doesn't even deserve it, Lord, you were willing to make that sacrifice to come to earth and to not only live and show us an example of what a perfect life looks like through your word, but also to give your life and to give it in a horrible, cruel death on a cross. Lord, only you could do that for us. Nobody else would do such a thing. Lord, we just thank you for that gift of salvation. And Lord, we just pray for anybody that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior here this morning. Lord, you are the only way to everlasting life. And Lord, we've seen that this week with the passing of Judy. We know that you were her Lord and Savior, and that she is safe in your arms this morning. So Lord, we just thank you for that assurance, for that comfort for the family. Lord, we pray for Karen and the rest of the Bryant family, Lord, we just know that it's such a difficult time to lose a loved family member. But, Lord, we know that you bring comfort, you bring peace, and the assurance of knowing where Judy is makes it so much easier for us to walk through a difficult time. Lord, we just thank you for this church in this neighborhood. Lord, we thank you for each person that comes to worship. We thank you for each person serving on our pastoral search committee, Lord, and we just thank you that as we continue that search and that we look forward to finding the candidate that you would have here, that you will make that abundantly clear to us. And Lord, we just thank you that you've walked with us for so many years. We thank you for each speaker that so willingly and graciously comes to preach your word. And Lord, we thank you that every person that comes to preach is preaching your word from your word. And Lord, that doesn't vary, that doesn't change. And we thank you that for each person that's so willing to commit their time and energy and serve you faithfully by coming to preach here. Lord, we just thank you for each person serving in this church family. And Lord, we just thank you for their service. Lord, we just thank you that we've been able to continue to meet and that this is still a lighthouse in this community. Lord, we know that even if people don't walk through these doors, they see the church, and Lord, it just speaks out your name just looking at the building. Lord, we thank you for people in our neighborhood here around the church and for kids at Marlborough School, and Lord, we just thank you for opportunities to share love with whether it's through breakfast or whether it's the barbecue on the property that we had. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities that we have, and we ask that you give us more opportunities to serve you and reach out into our community. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. Lord, we just thank you that your spirit is here with us as we worship. Lord, we thank you for this city and country that we live in. And Lord, we just thank you for the beauty in your creation that we see around us. No matter where we go, no matter where we travel to, Lord, you don't have to look far to see your beauty and handiwork in creation. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that evidence of your presence and your majesty. Lord, we just thank you for our leaders, and we just ask that you would bring leaders to know you as their Savior if they don't know you as their Savior. Lord, we just ask for godly leadership in our country. And Lord, we just know as things change and around the world with leaders and even with the United States having an election, Lord, we just know that you are the one that's in control. And that you've given us in your word that there will be problems in our lives and there will be end times coming. And Lord, we don't know when that's happening, but when we look around, we see evidence of it all over in our world today. But Lord, we just know that we have a promise that if you are our Lord and Savior, that we will be with you and that you will bring us through those end times to be with you. So, Lord, we just thank you for that assurance. We just thank you for your presence in this world. And, Lord, we just pray that if it's that time, that you will make that evident to us. And if not, Lord, that you would bring peace in our world. Lord, the fighting and the things that are not pleasing to you are just discouraging to see in the news. And, Lord, we just pray for your evidence of peace. But, Lord, above all, your protection of our souls is the most important thing. So, Lord, again, we just pray for salvation to come in our country. Lord, as we continue to worship in this service today, we just thank you for the word that you've laid on Jamie's heart this morning, and we just pray that you'll be with him as he brings that word to us. And, Lord, also prepare our hearts for the communion celebration that we will follow with. Lord, we just know that you commanded us to do this. And just to remember the sacrifice that you made. So, Lord, just help this communion part of the service be meaningful to us as we remember the great sacrifice you made for each one of us. We just thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Let me begin by saying good morning.
Good morning.
All great. We're all in one accord. Thank you for that worship time and experience and remembering that precious name, the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Well, today we're coming and we're worshiping him. And we're getting into that Advent season, that season that we enjoy. And so for today's scripture, I want to read from the Old Testament as we get back into Isaiah, where it said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." You know, as we get into the season that we say, remember, he is the reason for this season. This is our time. You know, the world will constantly try to take our celebrations. But we fight back, if I could use those words, fight back by keeping the faith. But not just keeping it, but to memorialize it. So it's kind of interesting that here we are the first Sunday, which is a traditional for the Baptist Church to have communion. And it's the first week of Advent for our calendar season that we would do so by remembering the beginning of his earthly existence and his ultimate cross, death, and resurrection. And so what I'm going to try to encourage us today is to unwrap Christ anew this season in that relational way so that we would celebrate the Christ of Christmas. And that by doing so, we would let our light so shine bright that those around us will see, understand, perceive, maybe even get challenged. I always like to talk about my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is a wonderful lady in many things. We've bunked heads a few times, but we've also had some very good times as well. One of the things of bunking the heads is growing up as a Tiffin versus a Fodor. You see, in the Tiffins, we wait for that Christmas time and we see all the gifts and boy, we just rip and there's just wrapping paper and bows and the cat going all over the place and us opening up the gift. Now, my mother-in-law, on the other hand, she gets a gift. Oh, I got a gift. Did you wrap this? Oh, lovely. Well, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderfully, I want to appreciate the wrapping. And not only that, because she was a good farming lady and she taught me that if you take care of the pennies, the dollars take care of themselves. So you better believe, take a good look at that wrapping. Because chances are next year your gift is going to be wrapped in that same paper. This is what I want. To kind of realize and embrace for me the first time, not just a rip-in to the great gift Jesus, but to methodically cherish, absorb, receive the package, yes, that wrapping, but is the gift the wrapping? No, but it is an important aspect of having it revealed. And then, of course, get into the gift. That I thought today, what I would do is go to the concept of looking at the Wonderful Counselor, or the names of Jesus from the prophet Isaiah. So if you're into it, you probably understand point one, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that's where we're going to go today to unwrap Christ this first Advent Sunday. And to do so, you see that idea that it says in Scripture that he will be a wonderful Counselor. And I started thinking, counsel, good counsel, wise counsel, counsel that is given needs to be received, unpacked, implemented, embraced. So I thought I'd go to a parable myself. One of my favorite parables that I use a lot in different areas, from premarital to coming to Christ to re-encouraging the church. And it says, therefore. Now, what's that therefore? Let's see. It's therefore because everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains came down, the streams flooded, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and that house fell with a great crash. You know, this is a wonderful parable that talks about that whole foundational truth of our faith. Speaking of that, of the Old Testament, of the one who was to come and to build the kingdom of God, the rock of our salvation, the cornerstone of our faith. And he gives us, and this is Jesus now speaking, the wonderful counselor. He starts talking about the fact that, if you look at it, there was three things that these two people had in common. First of all, they are both builders. And they had a plan, they had a project, and these two builders built. And we also know that these two builders, well, what else did they have? Well, they had good counsel. See, sometimes we miss that part. Everyone who hears these words of mine. And then it said halfway through it, everyone who hears these words of mine. Both received the same counseling. So the world can't say, well, we didn't know. We had not heard. We didn't understand. They can't say that because Jesus Christ himself has been revealed throughout all history and through the church. So they really can't say anything about that. But also you and I, we've got to remember that because we have heard the good counsel. Everyone who hears these words of mine. And if we are connected to Jesus, then we realize how great and wonderful his counsel is while we inhabit the earth. And therefore, you and I, this Advent season, let's unpack Jesus. Now, as an illustration of that, I could say that when Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States, he signed into the expense account of the United States a bill that actually would end up costing $1.7 billion. It was a project his wife had. It was called Just Say No. Just Say No to Drugs. And you know, the neat part about it is in that within that $1.7 billion being spent throughout several years, there was no concrete evidence that that money spent on a slogan had a really strong impact on the battle or war on drugs. Now, was it a good slogan? Yes. But in its implementation of it, it fell short because they were hoping that just the slogan would work. And they had posters and shirts and bumper stickers, and they went to school and they had chants and they had cheers. But did it have a... Well, the war is still on, isn't it? And it's getting worse in areas as new drugs and laws changing on drugs and that this $1.7 million, where did it really go? And that's the world. What about us in the church? We have had a lot of money spent on jewelry, shirts, bumper stickers, posters. In fact, I even saw it in your office just now. WWJD. What would Jesus do? What a great slogan. What great jewelry. What great idea that, oh, what does WWJD? Oh, what would Jesus do? And a lot of money has been spent in the church with a wonderful slogan. What would Jesus do? And it's a good slogan, don't get me wrong. But what about its implementation? Us. Because you see, as we are in Christ, the wonderful counselor means that we have a building project. We are to build, build while we inhabit the earth the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And notice that what else they had in common, that as we build, whether foolish or wise, the rain will come, the floods will appear, and the wind will blow and beat against this house, the house of God, the people of God. And so one of the things that I want to help you to unwrap today is, as good as it is to say, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I'd rather like to challenge you this year to apply it, W, what, D, did, J, Jesus, do? And will you do the same? Because you see, our actions speak louder than words. So in this world, you and I are supposed to be salt and light. So as we unwrap this Christ child anew this year, our first and foremost commitment to this gift that we have received is to give ourselves back as a gift. The Bible says a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which means we should do what Jesus did. We should say what Jesus said. We should go where Jesus went. We need to be the present doers, movers, and shakers, because in this world of darkness, we have saw a great light. And that light enlightens us. Now we are to enlighten the world, the foolish people that still want to build their house, but they build it with calamity in the future, because we know that at the end of all time, when the world is finished, those foolish builders who built their house not on the Christ that we have, the rock of our salvation, what is their ultimate? They will fall with a great crash. And God says to you and me today, what are you going to do with your gift of Jesus? And how are you going to not only benefit yourself, but be a benefit to the world that I love? Because you are my feet, you are my hands, you are my mouth, you are my ambassadors. So today, let's hear the wonderful counselor of Jesus, and not just in this particular parable, but notice what it said at the end of that. Oh, hang on, did I go right? I went the wrong way. Because, this is it, when he finished, Matthew says, when he had finished, the people, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught with one who had authority and not like the other teachers of the law. As you get into Christ, as you unwrap the life of Christ in the Gospels, you're going to hear why they were such amazed. Because on another occasion, Jesus said, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. Do you know why he said that? He said that because the church, the people, the spokespersons, the priests, they were putting their slant on the scriptures. I think it says this. I think it says that. I think we should do this. I think we should do that. I think we should respond this way. And unfortunately, because we're flawed individuals, sometimes we go down our own little bunny trail, don't we? And Jesus, the great counselor, was trying to re-plumb line the church from the Old Testament into the New Testament by bringing it back to center. But I say unto you, and the reason why he had the I is because he is the great, say it with me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is a wonderful counselor. Here's the challenge for us this day, and maybe until next Advent season, to unpack, what did Jesus say and how can I do it? What did Jesus say in this area of my life? I need to respond to it. Where did Jesus go? There was a few verses I did at Riverview Gardens just the other day where it said, and he had to go through Samaria. And it talked about how Jesus had to go through unsafe ground. The Samaritans and the Hebrew Jewish people, they didn't see eye to eye, and sometimes it was hostile. He, passion, had to purpose go through where? Enemy ground. Why did he have to go to? Because he said, go into all the world. And he showed us by example. And there's where the wonderful counselor puts flesh on you and me. That actions speak louder than words. Not only to our commitment to Christ and our relationship to Christ and our response to a loving relational relationship with God the Father through the Son, but that you and I would be salt and light or an example. Our actions will speak louder than words if our actions, so let me go back, is the mandate of the counselor who says, go ye therefore. But it doesn't stop there. He then goes in to say, he is a mighty God. And so with this, I go to Titus. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodly things. You see, just say no. It's a good slogan, but it's got to be put to flesh. It's got to be a response. Just say no to ungodly and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You know, Paul was saying to us as that militant missionary, church missionary, builder of the faith, he was saying that it's the grace of God and it has appeared salvation. He's talking about God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And to remind us that to all people. Do you remember that other parable, since we're doing parables in this church? Do you remember the one parable? Have you got to there yet? We're talking about the good Samaritan. The most likely people to help this poor soul didn't respond, didn't care, didn't want to get involved, couldn't waste their time. What was the most unlikely candidate of salvation in that particular parable? The Samaritan. It's to all people, and we are all people. And so it is to all people. So let's not lessen the fact that for God so loved all the world that he completely gave all of his Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is the grace that appeared to us that offers us salvation. And we got to be remembering of that as we unpack Jesus, this great gift that we say at this time of the year, wrapped in flesh and dwelling among us while we wait for the blessed hope. What's our candle today? Hope. Hope does not disappoint us. Karen, where are you, darling? Hope. That even when we grieve, we do not grieve without hope. We have hope of the resurrection. And that's what's got us so. How come you Christians are joyfully sad at funerals? What's with that? Because we believe. And you know, it's said in the Mary Martha story to Jesus when their son or their brother Lazarus died, you will see your brother again. I know. In the resurrection. Well, that same Jesus, the hope of our salvation, the grace that God gave us through his sacrifice, is the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify himself, a people of his very own, eager, that's our key word for point two, mighty God, that you and I should be eager to do what is good by sharing our gifts. Back to my mother-in-law. She used to love to re-gift, right? She received it, she loved it, didn't necessarily need to use it. Maybe she had something else, maybe she had it in safekeeping until she thought, you know what? So-and-so would take this, it's mine now. See, that's the idea about regifting. We say, you gave my gift away? No, I gave my gift away. You gave it to me and I choose to give it away. Right? That's not a bad thing. That's not an insult. In fact, that's kind of a good testimony that what you give was so good. And even though it didn't apply them directly, indirectly, it was regifted. And you and I have the gift of Jesus. Why aren't we regifting him more often? Why are we not wrapping ourselves in his flesh of sacrifice by giving this so that the great God could be revealed? We need to be eager to do this. So I love this idea about redemption. So I use one of my sons who wants to be remain nameless, although I only have two, Jack and Gabe. Used to love to see the mail come. Not because he was waiting for a letter. Not that he was hoping for a check, although he'd take it. His biggest desire of the mail is the coupons. The buy one, get one free. The Big Mac, supersized at no extra charge. Wendy's, Burger King, Taco Bell, pizza. Shall I go on? It's getting pretty close to lunchtime, people. And he would have these coupons. You know what those coupons meant? In most cases, for you and I, absolutely nothing. It went to the recycling. Something that actually had great value, you and I sometimes throw in the garbage. But yet in my son's hands, it becomes valuable when he takes that coupon to said restaurant and he receives something in that presentation. You know what we call that process? Redeeming the coupon. Redemption. The greatest coupon of life, because the mighty God that appeared for our salvation to all people is of great value. Why are we just keeping it in our homes? Maybe regurgitating it every so often. Maybe seeing it come week after week after week and it just lying around dormant. When God has called us, who have redeemed ourselves by the blood of the Christ, blood of Christ, for our sins, and we have claimed that coupon, but we have not shared it with those around us. For the grace of God, salvation is the blessed hope that has appeared, and the glory of our great God, Jesus Christ, who has appeared. And now he chooses to appear through you and me. So have you ever saw a Christian mirror? See, a mirror, and my wife loves to use the mirror. She has one of those mirrors I bought her that she could look at herself in the mirror and then flip it on and get a real close-up. Right, ladies? What does that mirror do? What's the purpose of the mirror? To reflect. So what's the Christian mirror? I thought I saw it here. Maybe it was in the other room as well. It's a picture of Jesus in a frame, like a mirror. That when people see us, they should see Jesus. And when they look closer at us, that's our lifestyle, they should see even more of Jesus, the author and sustainer of our faith. Because to purify himself, a people of his very own. And that's what you and I can do this Christmas season. To bring about the process of purification of a wicked world in the name of Jesus. And that should be an eager and joyful duty for you and me. But then he's also called Everlasting Father. This son who was born, this son who was given, is an everlasting father. And according to Colossians, it says, the son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones of or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood shed on the cross. Oh, I am so eager to do communion today. Because he is the firstborn of all creation, who was before all times, who is evermore shall be. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And that all things were created, for in him nothing was created that was created. All things were created. And because of that, it holds together. A lot of the things, and my wife will tell you, that I put together doesn't always stay together. And there's only so much that duct tape can do. But in him, all things hold together, both the present and past and present and things to come. Why? To reconcile himself, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace. See, making peace is a key spot in this verse. Making peace. That's why we still have today peacekeepers, peace enforcers, peacekeepers who keep guard. We have in our national anthem, we stand on guard in our freedom that was purchased in the blood of our men and women, the freedom that we have. And now we stand on guard for thee. That should be the anthem of our church. Then it says, because he is the Prince of Peace. It says in Micah 2 to the first part of 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Got to remember that Israel is synonymous with the people or children of God. That means we're grafted into that through Jesus. Whose origins are from old, of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son. And the rest of his brothers return to join Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in majesty of the name of the of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. And that, by the way, not only is the physical earth to every corner of the earth, but to earth's existence until the last day. And he will be our peace. You know, I look at that and I think on how great this is for you, especially, as well as all of us, as the Church of Jesus Christ at times is sinking. You know, you might consider yourself little, small. Maybe sometimes you think in the gospel call insignificant. You're not. You're not. Bethlehem, a little hick town. If you'd like to go to Chatham and you really want to know how small a town can be, or a village, or a center, go to Unga. Unga is on Highway 40 between Chatham and Wallaceburg, and wonderful with the thing that says, don't blink, you're going to miss it. And growing up, we'd go to the hockey game because my brother was a Wallaceburg Laker, and they'd say, hey, we're coming up to Unga, don't blink. Oh, you missed it. 14 years of my life. Missed it again. I couldn't really see it until the golf course opened. It was a 27-hole golf course. And it took up 80% of Unga. But it's on the map now. Because they have great food in the restaurant and great golf in the summer. People know where Unga is in my area town. They don't have to blink. They see it. They see it. And I look at Bethlehem, that little out-of-the-way no place. Don't consider yourself smaller than me, because out of you will come. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you might personally feel small, but with God in you, with his work, with his will, with his power, with his authority, you who think you're small can do a great thing in your day and age. An ambassador. You might feel in amongst all the areas and the growingness of Windsor, You're just getting smaller and smaller. But out of you can come, will come, has come, and we believe will come again, a great significance among the clans of Windsor, Essex, Southwestern Ontario, Ontario, Canada, and the world. Who knows, out of you will come. And so I look at that and I say, and he will be our peace. And what scripture has that for our hearts today to unwrap? The peace that passes all understanding. He's the Prince of Peace. And what does it say, the peace that passes all understanding? He will guard your hearts. That's your life source. That's your eternal hope. That's your salvation. Have peace in your heart that even if you die, yet you shall live. That's guarding your heart. Because without a heart, by the way, they say that one out of every one person, when the heart isn't working, you're dead. But let the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, guard your heart. Because if the physical is dead, your spiritual is alive, yet they shall live. And then it says, after guarding your heart and your minds, that's that citadel of intelligence that has the armor of God, the helmet of our salvation, that protects our heads. That's why I like to say to Christians, like I say to sports people, would you get your head in the game? Boy, did my Yankees not get their head in the game. Get our heads in the game. He will be our peace. And that peace will guard our hearts in our own personal salvation and our minds in the great commission of sharing the greatest gift ever given, wrapped in flesh, swaddling clothes, placed in a manger, grew in wisdom and stature before God and man, gave himself as a sacrifice upon the cross, was buried, and rose again for our peace. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what you and I need to unwrap this Christmas season. To unwrap the hope, not only for ourselves, look what I have, look what God gave me, but to be able to share that gift with one another, the hope that all people have, because God loved them so much. That's why I think Jesus said, if you love me, you will love one another, even the unlovable Samaritans, you and me. Let's pray and then go into that communion. Father God, we thank you for this day, that as we begin the Advent season, remembering the past as we look forward to the future, help us to continue to prepare. For Advent is a time to come, a time of coming, and a time of preparation, a time of great joy and of great hope. And as we prepare this season to celebrate your earthly visit, help us to have our earthly visit a gift back to you, not just by a slogan, WWJD, but to actually do what Jesus did in the name of Jesus, to say what Jesus said in the name of Jesus, and to go to places where Jesus would go, that we would go, and that we would be your light in this very dark world. For this we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. In one of my devotions that came in today, in my email, it said this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. You know, we call this the Christmas season. And as I'm asking you to hold up this symbolic ambassador, this tool called communion, let's take a look at the seasons. Do you realize that in fall, we start thinking of the dying? And then when we see ourselves blanketed by snow of winter, barren trees and landscape, there's a dormancy. And because we turned our clocks back, we're even in the dark in the morning, and very early in the evening. We are in the dark a lot of the time. Even my wife was listening to something that said, do you realize that not only emotionally, maybe even for us spiritually, but physically, December is one of the darkest times. It went from that fall of the departing of the alive of society, of nature, to the dormancy or the deadness of winter. But what's just around the corner in that deadness of the winter is the spring. We call it rebirth. The resurrection of the budding trees, the grass turning green, the flowers coming and blanketing the earth alive again in the summertime, flourishing. So it is as we look at our spiritual, that sometimes, especially the dark world that we live in, the dark times, the sad times, the turmoil times, the financially strained times, the upheaval of governments and upon a government will be upon Christ's shoulder. We remember the one who came to live and to die. So it's from our idea that we have this triumphal remembering that on the last week of Jesus' earthly life, it started with the triumphal entry in preparation for the Passover. There's great joy, great fanfare. It was Palm Sunday. They were celebrating as they said of him, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But then it got dark. Friday. And Jesus, after celebrating with his friends, I eagerly desire to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. Because he was going to become the sacrificial lamb. That he said to his friends gathered there, I want you to take this bread. I want you to receive it. I want you to claim it. And I want you to consume it. Because this bread is a reminder, is a symbol, and is a form, a physical form of a spiritual need. This is my body which is given for you. Because he was talking about putting himself on the cross, not for his own sake, but for you and for me. And he said, and take this cup. Take this cup. It is a symbol, it is a reminder, it's an example of my blood which will be poured out. You see, Jesus was a vessel, and he poured himself out. Every last drop, we could say. This is my blood, which is for you, the payment in full, the remission of sins. Whenever you eat of this bread or drink of this cup, do so in remembrance of me, who gave himself physically, even to his last breath upon the cross. And that's what this symbol is. The gift which we are going to unwrap this first Advent Sunday, remembering the greatest gift ever given, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he gave his blood as the remission of our sins. That's the gift of eternal life to those who believe. But Paul reminds us that before we eat of this bread or drink of this cup, we ought to examine ourselves before we eat of this bread or drink of this cup. Because if we eat and drink in an unworthy manner, what does that mean? It means without recognizing what we just started talking about. The hope of Jesus, the gift wrapped in flesh. And the commitment we make to him through our salvation. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We examine ourselves and say, did I do this? Past tense. Then take this cup as a reminder in remembrance of me, Jesus says. But on the other hand, we need to examine ourselves. And if you are in this place and you have yet to make that personal commitment of Jesus Christ to accept the eternal gift of forgiveness of your sins, then we ask you in this place, in your personal examination, to not participate, but observe, question, dialogue. because it says, if you eat and drink without recognizing me in an unworthy way, you're guilty of a great sin. You're thinking that this is a magic potion, and it's not. It's a symbol. And so let's examine ourselves. As we quiet ourselves down for a few moments of quiet, reflect. And if you have peace in your heart that you are saved by the blood of the Lamb, then be assured to take these elements as a reminder for yourself to carry on the gospel. And if you haven't, do not be embarrassed, but come to the thing that you will not participate, but that you will continue on in your questions so that you can make a conclusion. Let's pray. Lord, give us peace. Peace to participate, peace to withhold. And help us to examine ourselves before you. And all God's people said, amen. So now find that first flap if you could. Start to unveil it. Like I'm asking you to unveil Jesus in you, the bread of life. We take this bread as a symbol of Christ's body given for us. Unleavened bread, which means no yeast in it. Yeast being a symbolic nature of sin, sin being removed through Jesus, who was sinless, the bread of life. He said, when you eat this bread, do so in remembrance of me. Let us do so. Father God, what was on the outside is now on the inside. Like your word was on the outside, but received in us through Jesus Christ and now dwells within us. As we consume now this bread, may it be a source of reminder that we too, in our flesh, need to sacrifice ourselves to be your ambassadors. Amen. Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks for it, he said to them, this represents my blood given for you. And it was poured out from his head, his hands, his side, his feet, as he died on the cross for you and for me. And although he could have called 10,000 angels, he chose to sacrifice himself for the greater good of humanity, from Adam to the very last. And he said, and when you take this cup, do so in remembrance of me, the remission of your sins and the reconciliation between God, my Father, through me to you. Take and drink. Now, Heavenly Father, your word says, taste and know that you are good. That simple sip reminds us on how good you are. You are a good, good God. And therefore, Father, as now this liquid is inside us, the representation of your blood, may we now be prepared to pour ourselves out for you, to be light in a dark world, to be hope in a hopeless world, to bring reconciliation in a world filled with war. This we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After communion was taken place, Jesus said, now let us sing a hymn and depart. So I'll invite our music ministers to come forward as we have a concluding hymn.